Where are you supposed to say? Father, have your vision. Powerful and personal, and then people in many towns or. Help each of us to
prepare ourselves to come here today to worship you. I thank you for your son Jesus, who allows us through his final sacrifice to come before your throne. We come because we are a needy people, not because we have it all together, but we come through the blood of Jesus. We thank you for this time. Pray for those that normally hear the knot, that they would be a blessing where they are. And just lift this time up before you and help each of us to look into your word and hear and search out and desire what you want us to listen to understand, to take in. Lift this time up before you, that you would be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, this morning, I'd like to look at the last portion here of Acts chapter 1. Last time I spoke, the title was, How Did Peter Know? It was the idea here of how did Peter get the wisdom that he had to be able to understand the things that are written here in Acts chapter 1. I guess I kind of, up until the last time, kind of took it for granted a little bit here of exactly how we got here. I look at the apostles, the disciples here at the beginning of Acts in awe, because they, you know, their teacher, their rabbi, he was just killed upon, you know, the Roman cross. So, you know, it's going to be just completely upending their mindset, their thoughts. And we see there towards the end of the books here, the Gospels, how it affected them. But it's only a short piece. I mean, it's just a small piece. And part of what showed me this is we'll get to a little bit later. There's just so much that just isn't written. There's just so much there that isn't even necessarily assumed. It's just not written. So that was last week. This week, this time, the title I'd like to put on this morning is Judas to Matthias, a change in leadership. Now, I struggle with that a little bit, because in my mind, Judas, was he, I guess in my mind, I had to think this through. Was he accepted by the other disciples? Just think about that for a minute. You know, we know what Judas did. We understand the end. We have it written here. But before that, before the crucifixion, before Jesus went before Pilate, what did the disciples, what did the other apostles think of Judas? It doesn't say that they questioned him at all. Actually, let's turn to John chapter 13 for a moment and just look at that. In John chapter 13, I'm going to read 21 to 27 here. And John 13, verse 21 reads, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. So we know what Jesus was thinking. He knew what was going on. Then the disciples looked one to another, doubting of whom he spake. So what do you think? Was it obvious to the other disciples who was going to betray him? And just stop for a moment. Think of all of the different accounts through the Gospels where the different disciples stumble. I mean, how many of them were told, get behind me, Satan? Well, we know one. I mean, did it happen other times? I don't know. It doesn't say. But we're not talking about Peter here. So we're not talking about somebody who was just completely off the charts of completely unacceptable when we're talking about Judas here. You know, he was accepted. We also see that none of these disciples, apostles were perfect through all this. So we, you know, just that's one reason why, you know, like I said before, and I really had a great appreciation for that early group and all the struggles that they had gone through. Back here to John chapter 13, verse 22. Then the disciples looked one to another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus's bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. Then lying on Jesus's breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Okay, so they understand the question. I mean, okay, so I, you know, some of this stuff I think is easy for me to overlook. They knew what Jesus said because they said, okay, somebody is going to betray you. Well, we don't know who it is. So they're asking him, who is it? Verse 25 there again. And he then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. Okay? I understand that. You understand that. But boy, isn't this a lesson? And we don't always understand things as they happen and when we're in the middle of it. Okay? Continue there in verse 26. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Stop there for now. So it's pretty clear. It's pretty clear to you, to me, to anybody who read this, who's going to betray Jesus. Now here, in some of my notes, I wrote down here, Judas was a chosen disciple. If we go, I'm not going to turn to Luke chapter 6. It states that all of the disciples were chosen by Jesus. It didn't make an exception. It just says, you know, of the disciples, he chose 12. He chose 12 out of them. So Judas was one of them. We don't see Judas's commitment being questioned by the other disciples, even though we see very clearly here that Jesus had pointed out that Judas was going to be that disciple, picking back up here in verse 28. Now, no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. Okay, here we have no man. We later have a some, but here we have no man. So they didn't understand. There wasn't a one of them that understood it. And because they didn't understand why Jesus would have told Judas that. So I don't want to make too big of a deal of it, but I think it is very, very important to understand that Judas was accepted among the other disciples who are going to be the apostles because they weren't able to see everything as it was. Verse 29, for some of them thought because Judas had the bag that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things with that we have need against the feast, or that we should have something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. So there's, you know, we can give it to some of the disciples. They didn't hear him exactly as it was. Maybe they had other thoughts going on. Maybe, you know, there could be some understandings. But the point is that no man understood the intent. And after he received it, Judas left. So if you read, you know, keep reading the scriptures, you'll find out later that they're able to put these things together after the fact and understand exactly what was going on. And that's the situation we have there in the beginning of Acts. Some of the things that I took out of this is it can be very easy for our preconceived ideas to get in the way sometimes. You know, it's really clear what's written here. And when we're in the middle of things, we have ideas how things should work. And when it doesn't go that way, it's sometimes hard to get out of it. So I have to be careful of preconceived ideas. It says that Judas kept the bag. So, you know, which would be, when I looked up bag, could also be translated purse. So, you know, he was what we may call the treasurer of their group at the time, which is another indication that he was trusted. He was trusted to have some responsibility among the group. He may not have been a son of thunder or one of the very outspoken apostles there, but he did have some responsibility. I also see here a progression. The progression is, we know from other scriptures that Judas helped himself to the bag some. You know, he wasn't the disciple that the other people thought he was. He had a hidden part of him that he didn't share with the others. So he had in that. He didn't have a true heart to God. It wasn't there. Did he, what kind of seedbed did he bring to Jesus if it wasn't a true heart to God? Well, he brought one that allowed John chapter 13, verse 2. I'll start here. In John chapter 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was to come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Progression. We had a heart that wasn't towards God. And now that allowed Satan to come in to plant this seed. Is that where it ended? Not exactly. Because in verse 21, that's not the verse. I didn't write down the verse, but at one of these verses here, it talks about when Satan entered into him.
27.
Thank you. Verse 27. And after the sop, Satan entered into him, as I was just reminded there. So there's something that a lesson I've learned. I've got to be careful of the progression. You know, it may seem pretty easy to pull a few dollars out of the purse. But where is it going to bring me? This is our illustration here. It may be something else. But our illustration here is money. You know, it can be many other things. And I guess I don't really want to get down that rabbit trail, but just to leave that thought there. Judas's nature came out. And he submitted to who he opened up his heart to, which was Satan. So now that we have Judas's betrayal, we see Peter and the other disciples saying, where do we go from here? This is what we have. We have in Acts chapter 1 in this last section is where do we go from here? So I'd like to read verses 15 to the end of Acts chapter 1 here. And that reads, In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers of Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Akeldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, and who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take the part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So there's the account there of Matthias being chosen and how he got there, and the process of how long did that take? I don't know. It doesn't say. That's one of the things that I kind of wondered is it couldn't have taken too long, because we had specific time periods between Jesus' ascension, the day of Pentecost. There were some, but we have here that account of Matthias being chosen. So in that account of Matthias being chosen, the believers here, through Peter, Peter speaking it anyway, they acknowledged who Judas was. It says here in verse 17, he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. That's why I thought it was very important to lay the groundwork that he was accepted, because it says very clearly that he was numbered with them. And the word obtained is the exact same word that Peter used here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. To read this verse to get the idea here, that we're talking obtained means obtained. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So Peter's writing the second book of 2 Peter to those who obtain that like precious faith. And that's where Judas was as far as the disciples, the others' disciples were concerned. And ministry there is the same word as ministry. And I didn't write down what verse that's. I think that's like in 21 or 22. Up here on the other page, maybe not, but it's later on in the chat, well, in 25, there it is, talking about, verse 25 reads, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, talking about the one who was going to be chosen, and which was Matthias. So ministry means ministry. So some of this also, another lesson, is not, things aren't always as they appear. You know, Judas wasn't as he appeared, but a time will come when a reckoning will happen, whether it's here on this earth or whether it's later, a reckoning is going to happen. Nothing is nothing. Zero is hidden from God. He knows and he understands in his timing, things will come out and be understood. Another point that I got from reading this is, as hard as it may see or understand, maybe seem is a better way of saying that. As hard as it may seem or hard it is to understand, good can come out of bad situations. This was a very, very difficult situation for the apostles. As hard as it can be to understand how in the world anything good could come out of this, it can. It is possible. In John chapter 13 there again, to continue on after verse 30, starting in verse 31, what is the conclusion? Jesus gives us a conclusion of what had just happened. In verse 31, it reads here, therefore, when he was gone out, that's Judas had left, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself and shall straightway glorify him. The disciples really didn't understand what was going on at the time. But this conclusion, I believe, is of the utmost importance to understand for us today. And that is that even though we go through difficult situations, as Jesus is going to go through this, the ultimate point is God is going to be glorified. How do we deal with that? Well, we need to deal with it as Jesus dealt with it and just give himself solely over to God. Even through our most difficult situations, even through the bad problem or problems that come in our lives, God can be glorified then when we submit ourselves as Jesus submitted himself to God. There's a lot of things in this point that I don't really think can be expressed with words. I wish I could, but I can't. Some things are just learned the hard way. We need to be careful not to do what comes naturally to us in these situations. Peter, it's one of my favorite phrases, wanted to go a-fishing. He wanted to go back to his old life because it was what he knew and what he was comfortable with. We need to be careful not to go back to what we know, but we need to draw closer to Jesus, to God. Why? As it says there, so that we can be just as part of, now is the Son of Man glorified and God is glorified in him. Not that we are Jesus by any means, but we can be a part of that. That's why he told his disciples this, is because this is all part of the plan. This is the plan of redemption. If it wasn't going to happen, that's why Jesus told Peter to get behind me, Satan, because he knew it had to happen. And if that's what it takes for me to have the relationship with the Lord that he would want me to have is to go through those difficult times, then so be it. You know, I don't want to have to. It hurts, but when we put ourselves in those situations, then that's That's the way. So the disciples, back to Acts chapter 1, they moved forward. They went through this process. They didn't get stuck. They didn't get stuck there. Okay, this is another important point. It's very easy to dwell on a poor situation, even when you know that there is an outcome that is better on the other side. They moved closer to God. They moved closer to Jesus, as we will see. I mean, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but there's a lot of wonderful things to come. And this all has to happen before these other things can happen. I'd like to talk about Matthias a little bit. There's not much to talk about, because this is the only account that I can find of Matthias. But I don't think that's bad. That's probably good as far as he's concerned. He didn't do anything that was noteworthy poorly to be recorded of. Another couple of things that got my thoughts here is, what about the other disciples? Well, you know, Andrew is basically, Andrew is talked about as during the calling of the disciples. Philip has a couple of accounts where his name or some words that he says. Matthew as well is written about the calling, his calling. Simon Zelotes, he has one other account in John chapter 14. We have James, the son of Alphaeus. I couldn't find any other account of him other than as a listed being an apostle, as well as Bartholomew. So just because there isn't much more written about Matthias, or even Joseph, who was called Barsabbas, whose surname was Justice, that's not bad. That could be very good for, you know, a very good of, you know, character for him and for the rest of them. What does that tell me? Not everybody's a Peter. Not everybody's a son of thunder. There's work that God has for everybody. And not everybody is going to be out front. Even if there is leadership that does, you know, the person, because these are all leaders. Matthias was called to a leadership position within the early church there. So he was, but it's not always flashy, I guess, is that particular point. So we don't need to fall for the idea that everybody's going to be, you know, the first person. Isn't that kind of what Jesus said is the servant? Isn't that what he encouraged us all to be? Is servants and not lording it over them. Lord, or having those who are in leadership not lording over those. So how did Matthias get chosen? Okay. So what's the criteria? Did you ever think of that before? What was the criteria for Matthias? Why was he chosen? Well, verse 21. It was the criteria. It reads here, wherefore of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. Okay, so we've got a lot of things. I mean, we could talk about that verse for a long time, but very quickly here we have, there's more than one man, okay, that they had to choose from. There was more than one. There was at least these two, if not more. And they were with them all the time. And we got to remember, these people didn't live with Jesus. It says as Jesus came in without, so you know, they had lives as well. There's like there was a lot going on. So what was the criteria? is to be with Jesus. That's what these first disciples, whom were inspired by God, that's the criteria they used to choose who was going to be the next apostle, is spending time with Jesus. So what does that tell me? Well, isn't that what I should do when I go through that difficult time? That the times that can't be understood or described by words. There's one direction to go in, and that's right to God. That's the only place to go. And that's what both these men did, Joseph and Matthias. They were both honored by the disciples to be put in that spot to be chosen. Now, Matthias was the one that was chosen, but I think just as honored was Joseph, because even though he may not have been chosen for that particular office, that doesn't mean that he wasn't a mighty man used from God by God. And that just means that this was not the office for him. I wish that it was just as simple. Well, I guess I don't. But as far as to try to explain, I wish it was just as simple as say, you know, if you read your Bible and you pray, then you're going to have it all together. It's not that simple. It takes a submissive heart. So that's what all of these disciples did. I mean, these people were persecuted by the Jews, and we'll see that will continue. They had a submissive heart, a submissive spirit, that they wanted to submit themselves to God's leading and direction. Yeah, I wish I could explain all that, but again, I really can't. So I decided to explain it by saying this. How do I define Lord? What does Lord mean? I'm not going to define it for you, but that's what, if Jesus is our Lord and Savior, do I put restrictions on how I define Lord? These men did not put any of those restrictions on how Lord is defined. I believe we can say without any question that these disciples love Jesus. And what do people do who love Jesus? Well, a number of times in John chapter 14, the next chapter after we were just reading from, Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Obedience. "I will not leave you comfortless." He also says, "I will come to you." So it's not Jesus is over here and I am over here. God dwells within his people. Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit are all one. He dwells within his people. To finish up, I would like to circle back to Jesus circle back to Peter, back there when I asked the last time, is how did Jesus know? How did Peter know to go through all this process? How did the disciples know how to choose the next leader? How do I know how to deal with the difficult things that come up in my life? Lastly, we'll read Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. May the Lord bless you.
Yeah.